The Only Three Questions That Count: Investing by Knowing What Others Don't. Authors: Ken L. Fisher, with Jennifer Chow, and Laura Hoffmans. Building new knowledge of how capital markets works is everyone's job, whether you accept that or not. By knowingly embracing it, you can know things others don't, things finance professionals don't know yet. To do this, you just need to think like a scientist, think freshly, and be curious and open. As a scientist, you should approach investing not with a rule set, but with an open, inquisitive mind, and learn to ask questions. Your questions will help you develop hypotheses you can test for efficiency, but merely asking questions won't by itself help you beat the markets. The questions must be the right ones leading to an action on which a bet can be made correctly. So what are the right questions? Question 1. What do you believe that is actually false? You must think about what you believe and ask yourself whether it's correct and factually accurate. Question everything you think you know. Most people hate doing this, which gives you a real advantage over them. This is the first question. What do you believe that is actually false? If you want, you can change false to wrong. Common myths you believe in too. How do you know budget deficit peaks are followed by poor stock performance? Is it true? Most folks won't ask the question or check history. If they did, they will be sanguine about stocks rather than fearful. Historically, big budget deficits around the world has been followed by materially above average stock market returns, not fear deficits. It is big budget surpluses that have been followed by bad markets. Here are some general beliefs you probably hold, or at least most people do. 1. High PE markets are riskier than lower PE markets. 2. Big government budget deficits are bad. 3. Rising interest rates are bad for stocks. Falling rates are good. 4. A tax cut causes more debts, which is bad for stocks. 5. Higher oil prices are bad for stocks and the economy. 6. Stocks do well when the economy does well. 7. Small stocks do better than big ones. 8. Stocks of firms that grow more do better than those that don't. 9. Cheaper stocks do better than less cheap stocks. 10. Current accounts and trade deficits are bad for stock markets. You believe in myths mostly because of two facts. 1. They make common sense, and you aren't typically prone to challenge your own common sense. 2. People around you tend to agree these things are true, and you aren't prone to challenge widely held views. Question 2. What can you fathom that others find unfathomable? Fathoming the unfathomable, by definition, seems unfathomable. So most folks don't try it. All you need is question 2. What can I see that others can't? The more you ask, the more you see. Since the only basis for a market bet is knowing something others don't, this question provides a second basis for a bet. Go ahead and ask yourself, what do I know that others don't? It's the reflection in a quiet room away from the incessant market and media noise, when you wonder if factor Q could possibly cause result Y, when everyone else is yammering on about X causing Y. Discounting the media machine and advanced fad avoidance. You may be tempted to ignore the media altogether, since what you hear or read is either wrong or has already been discounted into current prices. There is some rationality to that view, but it's wrong. By all means, don't avoid mass media. It's your friend and ally on your quest to invest by knowing what others don't. The media is a discounting machine. You must read, watch, or listen to the media to know what everyone else is focused on, so you know exactly what you can ignore and look away from and focus elsewhere. Whatever they're fretting, you needn't, because they're doing it for you. A service, and you don't even have to pay them for it. Question 3. What the heck is my brain doing to blindside me now? One of the things we learn about finance is buy low, sell high. No investor intends to buy high and sell low. So why do so many of us end up doing that? If you want to know what causes your investments to fare poorly, look in the mirror. Our brains are so structured that when information comes in a form our brains are hardwired to receive well, we process it correctly, easily and quickly. When information comes to our brains in a form or framework our brain isn't hardwired to process well, we are often simply blind to it. For this, you need question 3. Before you take any market action, you must stop and ask what the heck is my brain doing to mess it up, to make me see the situation backwards. After all, the market is nothing more than millions of people behaving like, well, cavemen in Mercedes with Blackberries. The Great Humiliator, TGH for short, is an equal opportunity humiliator. It doesn't care if you're rich or poor, black or white, tall or fat, male or female, crippled or an Olympian. It wants to humiliate everyone. The bigger you are, the more TGH wants you. If you can unravel this code and understand your own decision-making process better, you can conquer your caveman brain, and with TGH, without being humiliated, that is the goal. Shocking but true. What really makes stock prices move? There are just two factors in this whole wide world driving stock prices. Always and everywhere, stock prices are derived singularly by shifts in supply and demand. Demand describes how emotionally eager consumers are to buy something at various prices. Alternately, supply is a concept depicting how eager suppliers are to generate output of some good or service at varying prices. Figure out the direction of demand, and you have figured out how to make a short-term forecast. Focus on what impacts demand. There are three broad drives impacting investor demand: economic, like GDP growth, corporate earnings, technological innovations, budget deficits, and monetary conditions, political, and sentiment, which is pure emotion. Putting it all together, four rules that count. Building a strategy is as easy as the following four rules to employ it every day in managing money. 1. Select an appropriate benchmark. Your benchmark should be appropriate for you. It will dictate your volatility, your return expectation, even to some extent what ends up in your portfolio. It's your roadmap, your measuring stick. 2. Analyze the benchmark's components. Assign expected risk and return. The second rule of portfolio management helps determine what exactly belongs in your portfolio, how much, and when. 3. Blend non-correlated or negatively correlated securities to modern risk relative to expected return. This rule is about managing risk relative to benchmark. 4. Always remember you can be wrong, so don't stray from the first three rules. With rule 4, you reduce the risk of being overconfident. In capital markets, there is no limit to what you can do to learn and build capital markets technology that no one has ever understood before. You can be a transformationalist of capital markets. You couldn't do that 200 years ago. Today, you can wake up and work daily on asking questions, simply challenging what we know, opening the vista of what we may know soon. The three questions are specifically for that purpose. So some of you, may get it in you to stretch and become a transformationalist yourself.